On the 26th of May, for 5 days, our membership doors are open and you can join for as long as you wish. There's no contract. And even better, in May, we've got a win-win month, a refund challenge where our course is money. And if you don't like it, you get a refund, no questions asked. If you do like it and you listen to the recordings and you participate in the discussion, you also get a refund. So it's a win-win. You can't lose. The only thing that you would be investing is your time. And it's my job to make sure that that time is spent in the most life-changing, transformational, mind-blowing way imaginable. So I hope you'll join us. There's no risk. Come and see what you think. Try out some of the private study courses as well. And hopefully see you there. This is the Superpowered Mind podcast for inquiring individuals who are tired of the struggle for peace, happiness, and clarity. I'm Claire Diamond, ready to help you explore the principles of the mind, the self, and reality to unlock ultimate mental freedom. This podcast is the one to listen to if you're ready to experience the capabilities of the superpowered mind. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of The Superpowered Mind. And today we're going to really look at what is it, this superpowered mind that we're talking about? Well, really what it is a lived experience of being that has shifted from confusion and projection and struggle with the mind's own creations to a ongoing reality of learning and healing, in which every experience is an invitation back to what is true, back to reality, because in reality, the mind does superbly well. What it struggles with is resisting and resenting its own created problems. So really, we're looking at how does the mind become sane? Because from that space of sanity, and I call it everyday insanity, because it's something that all minds have tendencies towards, all minds get confused with. So how does that everyday insanity end and the mind comes into reality where it has access to all resources, where the problems it's dealing with are actual problems, not the creations of past trauma and loss and wounds? How does the mind really come into truth? So I'm going to talk today about 4 of those shifts that happen in a superpowered mind. There's many, many more. And this podcast is going to look at all of them in the future. But for today, let's start with 4. A key one is time, past and future, because it's the concepts of past and future in the mind are so powerful that it looks like the content within the past and within the future is actually how it is. But really, for the sane mind, there's a recognition that past and future are constructs. They're extremely useful. No one is denying that it is very useful to have a working, accurate memory, and it very useful to be able to plan and predict and anticipate the future. That is absolutely part of being an effective human being. But what happens is that because the mind is so creative, it's so imaginative and powerful, its creations of the past and its creations of the future look real. So for example, the past looks to the mind as though it's something that is somehow existing somewhere as a timeline that stretches back, and that the mind goes and visits that event or whatever happens in the past, and it accesses the event exactly as it happened in the past. That's what is the result of a very powerful mind, that the imagination is so clear, so creative, so strong that I, you know, my mind can go back and revisit an event from childhood and say, this is that event. This is what happened. But what is actually happening is that that event is taking place now. It doesn't exist. There isn't a timeline. There isn't a place that the mind goes back to. What's happening is a memory is being accessed, but that memory is being accessed now. The memory is a product of now. And it's so cool when the mind starts to see this. So memories are completely framed and structured, distorted often, by the understanding, by the knowledge, by the resources available now, which means that all of the past is a construct of this moment right now. In the space in which it's being recalled creates the memory. And we see that because we can have a memory that is completely changed from new information or from mood right now or from how hungry we are or hormonal or whether someone's upset us or whether we're really happy. Memories change completely according to the frame through which they're viewed. And that's what happens with the past. And it's the same with the future. So the mind is projecting largely from what is believed about the past into the future, creating these scenarios. And they might look terrifying. And they're terrifying because they're coming from an understanding, a belief of what we are, a belief of what our identity is, of our worst fears, our worst shame, projecting out into the future. And so now the mind is busy, really busy, wrapped up in a past that looks completely real, trying to solve problems in the future that look completely real, and it can't do it. It's exhausting, and it's taking resources of energy and focus and time, and it's an insanity of mind. And similarly, the reality that the mind is experiencing is a product of attention. It looks as though there's a reality here that is completely objective and independent of this me. But actually, what's going on is the attention from the mind, which is navigated and orientated and located according to whatever is the subconscious priority in that moment. It's the conscious mind, the attention of the conscious mind is directed according to the subconscious belief system and prioritization system. That creates reality. And that's what we're seeing more and more in quantum physics, is that the attention is what creates the experience. And again, we see this when, you know, like those videos of focus on the ball being moved around by some basketball players, and the bear that walks across the court is completely not seen because the attention is honed in on something excluding everything else. And this is the day-to-day ongoing creation of reality. And a mind that understands that is no longer a lost mind that is caught up in fighting this reality. It's a mind that is now recognizing that how reality appears is the direct reflection of what is going on within the subconscious conditioning that gives rise to that reality. So it's a sort of outside-in model of how reality is constructed. And again, a mind that understands that is really now operating in the space of learning, of healing, of understanding itself, of drawing out from within the fears, needs, shames, insecurities that creates such a thick lens of delusion on the reality that is experienced. So absolute freedom. Similarly then with compassion, which is our third aspect of a superpowered mind. And compassion really is available to the extent that shame and blame are understood for the confusion that they really are. Because shame and blame are coming from the idea that each individual is objectively choosing what to say, how to behave, how to react, how to respond. But really, an investigation into the mind, into where behavior comes from, makes it clear behavior and words spoken, responses, reactions are a product of belief, a product of understanding, a product really of that subconscious conditioning based on all the experiences that the individual has gone through. And there is no one, there is no separate individual within the body-mind deciding what's believed, is there? Beliefs are acquired from the moment the baby is born and is interacting with the world and the mind is starting to develop, the brain, which is wired to create shortcuts and rules of thumb and assumptions, that incredible brain is wired to believe. And there is no one deciding what beliefs will be acquired. So this entire subconscious conditioning is just happening. There is no one in charge of it. And that subconscious conditioning gives rise to all form emanating from that body mind. In other words, you might have heard it, and it sounds a very complicated woo-woo phrase, but there is no doer. There is no chooser. There is no individual decider. And yet choices are being made all the time, but not by any separate independent entity. And this understanding creates an entirely different perspective on blame and shame. Blame and shame are at the heart of a belief in ourselves as a separate entity capable of independent choice. And when it's understood that that's not possible, then there's this recognition that all individuals are operating from a subconscious program of belief and understanding. And yeah, there's no one deciding to do that. And so it doesn't mean the end of boundaries. It doesn't mean the end of asking for different behavior from someone. It doesn't mean not having very clear standards of how people treat us. But it's a recognition that really it's on us to say that and to change people's conditioning through the way we behave and through what we permit, rather than living in this space of resentment and resistance that someone should be different. And this really is the definition of compassion now. This is a sane, very clear, very logical space in which compassion for self and other is the only sensible way of living. And then finally, our fourth aspect of the superpowered mind is the articulation of the actual problem. Einstein said, the mind that created the problem cannot solve it. I'm paraphrasing, but it's true, because the mind that creates the problem doesn't realize that it has created the problem. And so the confused mind is a mind that is operating unconsciously from the conditioning of trauma and wounds and loss. And this conditioning is projecting itself to create an idea of what we are and an idea of what the world is. This idea is really made from need, shame, fear, lack, insecurity, and often a deep feeling of existential wrongness. There is something really wrong with me. And that's been acquired from caregivers, from the environment around us at school or as we're growing up. It's acquired from media, from peers, from teachers. It's just a belief system that is in operation. But this belief system is highly active. It's highly creative. And so all the time, these shames and fears, insecurities are creating an idea of self and other. And of course, those are problems because the mind is always looking to try to find freedom, to try to be happy, to be peaceful. But it's trying to find those things within this unquestioned reality of self and other. And these look like problems to be solved, but the only problem is that the mind doesn't understand what's going on. And so it's struggling and fighting and using its resources to really try to fix these created problems that actually don't exist. And in fact, the more it tries to solve them, the more struggle it's creating, the more real all of this looks. So the superpowered mind is a mind that recognizes that when there is deep resistance and resentment, when there is real struggle, when there is real stress, when it looks like our survival, and by our survival, what we mean is the survival of this idea of me, the identity of me, the image of me, when that looks to be at stake, the suffering is saying right now the mind is not clear, it's not sane, it's operating out of the projection from childhood, it's not dealing with actual problems. And so the stress is saying, come back into reality. And again, another example from Einstein is he said that if he had an hour to solve a problem, he would spend 55 minutes articulating what that problem is. And that's something that the superpowered mind does, because the investment in really understanding what actually is the issue here, and to really see all the things that seem to be at stake in it that actually aren't, drilling it down, pinning the mind down so it's really clear what's needed here. That is a way of making transparent all of the resistances, the fear, shame, and insecurity that is packed into this problem, but actually are distracting from a mind being able to really get to grips with reality right now, rather than exhausting itself in the unfulfillable attempt to solve problems that are projections of the past. So the superpowered mind is operating in the present from an understanding, a real clear understanding of what the past and future is and how they actually don't exist outside of this experience now, right now. The superpowered mind understands that it is attention that creates matter, that the energy of pure potential is converted into apparent matter, apparent reality, through attention, through the perceiver. So powerful. The superpowered mind is absent of blame and shame because it understands the origin of all behavior, all reactions and responses, and that is compassion in action. And then finally, the superpowered mind is solving the actual problem, which will always have a solution because it's a problem that is available right now. It's not a creation of imagination, a creation of past wounds that actually doesn't exist and which can only be solved by a mind coming back into reality and understanding what those creations really are. So we could talk about this forever. there's no end of richness in looking at what the mind is, what it creates, what it misunderstands. I find it the most fascinating exploration. And in a way, it's the purpose of all human minds to return to reality, to heal the wounds of the past, and to operate from a ongoing everyday sanity in which every moment is a gift of learning and healing, which will ultimately set the mind free. Thank you. Bye. Thank you for listening to Superpowered Mind with me, Claire Diamond. If you want extra support in the exploration of your mind, download our exclusive subliminal recording, especially for podcast listeners, on bit.ly/podcastsubliminal.